Good morning, everybody. How we doing? Welcome one, welcome all. What a great, you know what, this is a perfect show to listen to while scratching your nuts in the morning. Or while driving a garbage truck. That is what our show is all about here. The Morning Disaster. I say R, but it's just me again. I don't know where Nikki is. Let's see. She did correspond. I had some correspondence with her. What was a correspondence? It was a typical Nikki correspondence. It was like an emotion. What is it? Oh, a picture. It was. I thought that was one of those emoticon things. It was a picture of Snoopy. Going bleh. And it looked like Snoopy's about to vomit. And that was. I don't know when that was. Oh, this was yesterday afternoon. It says, my chest hurts, probably from coughing. Not sure what's going on. It hurts to breathe. Well, Nikki, you have COPD. That's why it hurts to breathe. Yeah, so anyway, that's the latest that I got with her. But I'm here, as always. And I was reminded yesterday that I didn't play any best of. Which, because I was very, man, I was very talkative yesterday. I can't remember a damn thing I talked about, but I was very talkative yesterday. I do know that. I remember being very talkative, although I could not tell you a single thing that I talked about. And because of that, I'm going to try, I promise I'll try to play, I will try to play one today. You know, I'll get to something, you know. So if somebody wants to send a request for something, I can see if I can find it, you know. I did, oh, by the way, I did listen, I know I mentioned this, the podcast Mayhem Unleashed, that's a TJ's podcast, that I did get a chance to listen to the Rage stuff, where Rage called me an MF-er, and boy, he was, what an angry, angry person that is. What an ugly, angry person. And then of course it, I'm not even the one he hates the worst of all people. I mean, it's crazy. Of all people on the Morning Disaster, when Rage was on the other pod, was on the podcast, the Mayhem Unleashed, they start talking about his time on the show, and man, he MFs me. Okay. And calls me the round mound of sound and, you know. And it called me an MF-er. But he actually, he goes after, of all people, Norm, who was the producer of the show. He says, this is his quote, he says that he, that Norm is a Satanist. Now, in listening to it, I think that his problem is that he meant to say he's a sadist. But when he calls Norm a Satanist, it is the highlight of that interview and that podcast. So I listened to it yesterday. Sometime this weekend, I'll probably pull the clips. And I'll play the clips for you where he MFs us and, you know, calls Norm a Satanist. But, I mean, he goes after, he attacks, he attacks Mikey, he attacks, everybody on the show. He just attacks everybody except, I'm trying to, there was one person that he said that, I think he may, for the life of me, I can't remember. He had nothing to say about them or had no problem with them. So he had nothing to say about them. So I promise I will get to, I'll pull that audio off. But I did listen to it. I was relaxing and I said, you know what, where is that? Oh, I know. I was playing PS4, you know, I couldn't sleep, and I started playing MLB 14, right? And so while I was playing a PS4, I'm like, I got, you know, you listen to the announcers over and over, and then you go, oh, my God, I don't want to listen to the announcers anymore. So you put on, you know, something else to listen to. And a lot of times I'll put on, like, a classic show, and I'll pull clips off or best ever, whatever. And I was like, you know what? I'll pull that, let me get that audio of Rage so I can at least listen to it and see, because TJ took the time to put it together, which is awesome, but I think he's releasing it as a podcast. You guys can listen to the whole thing. But also my, you know, it gave me a chance to hear what he had said, because I'm like, man, I've talked about this, and for all I know, this could be something really bad. I should, you know. I gave it a listen, and I listened. It was funny. It's funny. And he says horrible things about Sarah Jane, of course. And, you know, it's typical. It's what you would expect of Rage, you know. However, I got to say, him calling Norm a Satanist is just totally and utterly ridiculous. It really is. I mean, it really, really is. And if you want to, I'm going to give you his, if you go to Facebook, all right, it's the easiest way to get this podcast from TJ. And you go to Mayhem Unleashed, and then click on Mayhem Unleashed Podcast. He will have, he'll put shows up there, but I don't see, oh, here it is, yeah. And it goes to September 18th, and it's called The Real Rage. And that's where you get this this audio of Rage saying this stuff. So if you feel like listening to it, that's how you get to it. People, we have an epidemic going on in this part of the world. And I cannot, I'm troubled by it. Thanks to Al for turning me on to this problem, letting me know that this is going on, this troubling turn of events. And that is, Al has sent me pictures of toilets. Pictures of toilets being left in the country. This is a troubling development going on, but it is obviously troubling. Al has sent me a picture of a toilet, and it says, Ray, people are throwing shitters away out in the country, and this is an epidemic. It's an epidemic. People are throwing away shitters. Just driving down. It looks, I mean, I don't know if this is the case, but it looks like a guy's just driving down the street. You know what I mean? It looks like he's driving down the street with a toilet. He's got a toilet like the backseat of his car, you know. And he pulls over and says, oh, hold on, let me get rid of this toilet. And he just tosses it. I mean, it looks like he tossed the toilet out of the car like the way you would toss out, if you're white trash and you went to toss out like an Arby's wrapper. That's what it looks like. Like if you were some asshole that just drove and said, hold on, let me just throw my garbage out the window. Of which, by the way, I am so, I don't know, maybe I'm just such a puss, but I've had receipts or wrappers. And I don't mean like Snoop Dogg. I mean like wrappers, something you would wrap something in, you know. Like a fast food wrapper or something like that, where I had the wrapper of a blow pop. I was going to a softball game. All right, this was last spring. I'm going to a softball game, and I have a blow pop, you know. So I put the blow pop in my mouth because, when I coach softball, I got to chew. I got to have gum, or I got to have seeds. And a lot of fields don't allow seeds anymore, you know. Or I have a blow pop that I put in my mouth, you know, when I'm during the game. So, you know. And I take the blow pop out of the wrapper while I'm driving. Or I take the wrapper off the blow pop while I'm driving, right? And I'm driving with the windows down, all right? And somehow the wrapper flies out of the window. Now, I all of a sudden, I mean, I was made to feel, all right? I was made to feel like I somehow murdered someone. You know, you were I felt so guilty, and I just felt, you know, I just felt horrible. Like, oh my God, what have I done? Oh my God. I mean, there is a feeling that you've done something horrible. And I had to pull over, all right? And there was a car behind me, of course. So I had to end up pulling over, getting out of my... Well, first I pulled over, then I backed up, you know, which I think is illegal, but I'm very lazy. And I backed up. This isn't on the highway or anything. This is on 11th Street, out behind Toronto Road, or I guess it'd be technically be north of Toronto Road. I pull over, and then I go backwards, okay, in order to get out this wrapper. I actually get out of the car, and I go and I pick up the wrapper. Now, I had to make sure that the people around me could see me doing this. I mean, you know, I want to get a little something out of it. Like, oh my God, look at this guy. It was an accident. He's actually going back to, oh, what a wonderful person, you know. And let's face it, I'm, you know, I don't want anybody, the only reason I was doing this is because I was afraid I was busted. But it was an accident. And I felt so guilty, I had to go back and pick this this thing up. That's how guilty I felt. But it's because we have been, and I think this is a good thing, you know. I really do. I remember, you know, being almost 50 years old. I remember being a kid in the 70s where, like, I'd go to baseball practice. And, like, parents of a friend of mine, maybe they'd give me a ride home or something. Because my parents, they never gave a damn about me playing baseball. They just didn't care. I mean, there were six kids, and they certainly didn't have time to focus on just one of them. You know what I mean? And so, back then, I distinctly remember this. After practice, we go to, like... We got something, you know. There was a place in Gillespie called Reben's, which was a little, like a little diner / hamburger place that was in this little building. I mean, it wasn't, it was a little building. And you go in and make a hamburger and, you know, all that stuff. And it was super cheap, and it was good. It was back in the days when, you know, like local places like that would thrive. It's kind of like the reason that I like places like Sunrise Cafe or, you know, I mean, I can name a dozen of them, of those little mom and pop places that are really good, you know. Anyway, we went there, right? And then we're in these people's station wagon. That's right. This is back when they had station wagons. And then they're going to drive home, and I just remember... The dad and the mom sitting in the front seat of this car, right? And as they're driving, and this is in the city, Okay, well, listen, in the town of Gillespie. There wasn't much of a city. But they're driving, and then they just toss the wrappers out of the window like it's nothing. Now, I'm maybe, you know, 8 years old watching this, and it was just, oh, and then the back of the, we were in the back of the station wagon, and, like, the back window was rolled down. It was an electric window, by the way. I mean, these are fancy people. And they ended up throwing the kid that I practiced with. He threw his wrapper out the back of the window. And that made me throw mine out the window as well. I was like, yeah, F society. You know, I was just like, F this, man. And I just threw my garbage out the back of the station wagon. Like, it was nothing. This was in the 70s, you know. And, I mean, there wasn't any guilt. There wasn't any, oh, my God, I got to jump out of the, I have to jump out of this moving car and grab my Reuben's wrapper. Because we didn't think like that. We didn't care. Then that friggin' Indian. For those of you old enough, and I don't know how many are, but there was this TV commercial that came on. And it came on like Sunday evenings and stuff. It was like that's the first time, like $6 Million Man or something, you know. This TV show comes on, all right? And it's got this Indian guy crying. Like somebody throws garbage. There's a car driving down the highway. And they throw garbage out of the window. And there's this Indian guy. And anybody who saw this commercial, you know what I'm talking about. And this guy turns around, right? And there's a tear going down his cheek because he's so distraught over the figurative urinating on his land, you know, or whatever the message was. It started hitting people, and that's when people started realizing, you know, it is sort of a shitty thing for us to just take our garbage and throw it out the window when literally we can just wad the garbage up in the car. And next time we stop near a garbage can, we can grab the garbage out of the car and just put it in there. And that's when we started realizing, you know, it really would be much easier to do that. And our roads and cities, and they just look better, you know. If we did that. And, I mean, that's just how, that's how it started. And nowadays, most of us would not even, we wouldn't even consider throw. I mean, you say to yourself, you go, oh, my, what kind of animal would throw a garbage out the window? You know, it's just not anything you'd even consider. Although, it, you know, back then it was just normal. You know, it was crazy. And that's when, you know, and that was in the 70s when people started thinking differently. When they were like, oh, my God, we can't be doing this, you know. And it was that damn Indian. That's what started it. Al says, he goes, this may be one of my only good qualities, but I stop and pick up the trash like this all the time. It makes me feel good. Then I also feel bad that there are idiots around that think this is all right. Yeah, I don't know. I honestly don't know what it is that makes us do this. Because I think when we threw garbage around in like the 70s, it was just ignorance. And like I said, everybody did it. I admitted to throwing garbage out because I had seen others do it and it was just normal. It was the 70s. And before that, I mean, before that, and my, I do remember my mother talking about how in the 50s and 60s, nobody gave a damn. They just threw it out and there'd be somebody pick it up. And this is just how it worked. And I'm telling you, it was just a different time. Now we wouldn't even would not even consider throwing garbage out of a car, let alone a toilet like Al put a picture of. That's just how, you know, that's just how it works. We don't do that stuff anymore. Although, you know, maybe we could, and we could pay poor people to go out. Poor people can go out and pick up garbage. You know, like, oh, yeah, here's the thing. Good news. You're going to get, we're going to give you some public aid. Oh, really? That's wonderful. Yeah, it's bad news. What? You're going to have to go walk down the side of the road and pick up garbage. Oh, F that. I mean, some people, a lot of people say, yeah, I'll pick up garbage. What the hell? But you know, you know damn well there's people that go, oh, F that, I'm not going to go pick up garbage. But back in the day, that was normal. Now we're so guilty if something accidentally flies out the window, we got to go pick it up from the ground like a lunatic. Wasn't on purpose, you know. But we now feel like garbage being thrown. We now feel like garbage being thrown out of our window. Even if it's an accident, we feel like, oh my God, this is this is insanity. You know, we're like, oh, this is like murdering someone. You feel that guilty. Brent says, Ray, I'm not one to throw a toilet on the side of a country road, but I have to say, I appreciate the practice of doing so. Sometimes you're in a car and you really need to take a dump. Now, don't get me wrong, the honking from other cars is distracting as you sit on them, but the relief of releasing your bowels is wonderful. Thank you, Brent. Thank you, Brent. It's nice that you could take a dump on the side of the road while doing your business. There's certainly nothing wrong with that. Oh, he also says, Ray, could you also please play some Angry Scottish Guy? I haven't played Angry Scottish Guy. Have I played? When's the last time I did some Angry Scottish Guy? I'll try to do some now. Let me see which bits I have from Angry Scottish Guy. Scottish Guy. Here's what I have. I have Angry Scottish Guy on Party School's Camp. The Olympics. And Bill Gates. Oh, what does Angry Scottish Guy say about Bill Gates? Well, here's your replay. Let's find out, shall we?
It's time for another news editorial from the one and only Angry Scottish Guy. It's Seamus. Hello, Seamus.
Hi.
How are you? Stupid question, I suppose.
I'm awful angry, actually.
I thought so. You have...
I'm a bit teed off.
You have an editorial for us today.
I
can't wait to hear what you're talking about. Go right ahead, Seamus.
I was looking through the paper here recently, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I saw this thing that Bill Gates' company, Microsoft, they're getting sued. Or something.
Yeah, they're getting sued, yes.
The government is busting up their monopoly of this computer faction, this computer amazing thing that's going on with the internet and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I, for one, think it's finally happened. Finally, Bill Gates is getting his arse handed to him. And I think it's a fine move for this country.
Okay.
That man is pure evil.
Bill Gates is evil.
Look at him with those crazy beady eyes of his staring you down. The man started the whole thing with a deceptive idea in the first place. I mean, think about it. He puts out a product. You think it's going to be all nice and simple and all good for you. It's called Microsoft. Small and nice. Microsoft.
Right.
It's a computer giant ready to take over the lives of everybody in America. They come into your homes. They watch what you do. When you click on that little cursor over at the corner, it tells you every page you've been on since you started. Huh? Think about it. They're tracing your steps.
Why are they tracing our steps?
So they know what you're doing, Lytle. You don't want everybody knowing what porn sites you've been looking up, do you? No, but these people, they can come in. They can figure everything out.
Uh-huh.
So what if I've looked at some ladies doing donkeys?
Oh, for God's sakes.
So what if a few Asian men have jumped on a dog or two on my computer?
Oh, Seamus!
What is it their business to know?
Oh, for goodness sakes.
So I like hairy women in kilts.
Oh,
Seamus. Is it their problem? No, it's mine. I say the American government takes every penny Bill Gates has and send him to the poorhouse. I'd like to see him try to survive on the streets, that little nerd. Mamsy Pamsy Candy Ass is what he is. Send him up the river. Let Big Lou show him what going around the net is like.
Can I ask how Bill Gates will profit from knowing what websites you have visited?
I don't know what his sick little mind has in store.
No, I'm just trying to see some motivation here, that's
if
all.
If I knew what he was up to, believe me, I would have put a stop to it a long time ago.
How would you put a stop to it?
Well, let's just say my stick, rock, and bag of manure aren't micro or soft. I'm Seamus, the Angry Scottish Guy, and that's what I think.
Oh, there you go. Seamus, Angry Scottish Guy, with his editorial today. Heard exclusively on Ray Lytle's Morning Disaster.
There you go. A man who would beat you with a rock, a stick, and a bag of manure. Which always made me laugh. The vision of someone hitting another person with a bag of manure always made me chuckle. Because that's how I roll.
Thank you for waking me up.
Well, you're welcome, George. You're very welcome, my friend. The number is 814-0332. If you want to call in. Hey, happy birthday, by the way. I missed somebody. You know, I blame Facebook, you know. But I don't know anyone's freaking birthday. I don't know anybody's birthday. I know my birthday, barely. You know, I know my daughter's birthday. All right. My daughter's birthday is November 10th, you know. I know my wife's birthday. And I know my youngest brother's birthday and my oldest brother's birthday. Okay. And my mother's birthday. I know my mother's birthday, though, because it's on Cinco de Mayo. So when I was a kid, you know, we got to celebrate it. My grandfather would say, oh, we got it. This is Cinco de Mayo and Mili's birthday. So I remember that as a kid, you know. But if my mother's birthday was on any other day, I don't think I'd remember it, you know. I would have no idea. But it sticks out, you know. And then I remember, like, you know, a handful of people, I remember their birthdays, you know. But then there's people I sort of remember like Sean Boleyn. I sort of remember the general area of when Sean Boleyn's birthday is. And I remember like a handful of people, you know. Spanky's, I know that Spanky and Mikey have birthdays in October just like I do. So I sort of remember them. But I get Spanky's birthday wrong every time. And this is serious. You can listen to podcasts of this show. In the last 3 weeks, I think, when Spanky has called in and talked about his birthday, and I have said, and I've gotten the date wrong, but I have the idea. I know it's like, I know it's like October 12th or 15th or 19th. You know what I mean? It's somewhere in there, you know. And for the life of me, I cannot remember the date. But I've been like that always. But I do know it's what it's around. Okay. Well, now Facebook has made it to where you never have to, like, learn anyone's birthday. Although maybe it's because mine is so, I don't know why, but I have a lot of friends who remember it just off the top of their head. And I'll go, well, you know, my birthday's coming up. They'll say, oh yeah, it's October 25th. And I'll be like, what, how do you know that? And they just have, you know, they just have good memories, you know? I mean, I'd like to think that I'm so special or so important that they actually remember, you know. That they, but I think there's, you know, you equate birthdays to something else. At least that's what I do. And I can't, like I said, I'm horrible at it. And, but Facebook, they used to put this thing like at the very top when you went onto Facebook. You go to like your homepage or whatever. And the very top, it would say birthdays, okay? And that's how I'd figure it out. And you get busy with life and you do other things, you know. And then you realize, oh, crap, I missed birthdays, you know. But you don't realize it until somebody actually shows up in your news feed. And when they show up in the news feed, it says, like, it'll say, oh, so-and-so wish so-and-so happy birthday. And then you go, oh, damn it. Now they're going to think the only reason that I wish them happy birthday is because I saw someone else wished it. And by the way, that's exactly how I knew it was their birthday. Although I don't want them to know that, you know. We live in such a messed up time. We really live in screwed up times. And so I wanted to say happy birthday to Craig McFarland, who is who's a regular listener of this show. So I hope he's listening to today's. And I want to say happy birthday to him. Because I saw today, this morning, that it was his birthday on yesterday. And I don't think I got a chance to write happy birthday in there, you know. So, happy birthday, Craig McFarland, all right? Blame Facebook. I didn't, not that you care if I wish you a happy birthday, but, you know, it's the least that I could do for people that, you know, that I know are big listeners of the show, and more than that, ambassadors of the show. He's never afraid to tell anyone, hey, check out Ray Lytle's podcast, you know. Even though, let's face it, you're telling people to check out this this R-rated podcast and blah, blah, blah. So I just, but I wanted to say happy birthday to him, which I think is, it's the least I could do for people, right? But like I said, I didn't see it on Facebook yesterday. I saw this morning that someone wrote happy birthday on his page yesterday. So happy birthday, Craig. I also want to wish in advance, hold on, let me make sure this is, maybe this isn't real. Hold on. I don't know if it's really, It might be Listener Assassin's birthday tomorrow, but I can't tell, you know. I don't know what's going on, because it says his birthday on Facebook, but, for tomorrow, but for some reason, I think it says he's got more than one page, so I don't know if it's, or maybe there's more than one person with the same real name. So anyway, if it is your birthday tomorrow, then happy birthday. If it isn't your birthday, well, F you. Well, you know, I don't know what to tell you. Hopefully I'll catch it when it really is. All right. That's, you know, that's, I just wanted to make sure to wish that. And then today, hold on. I did just see a list of, let me see if there's any today that I should mention. Happy birthday to, no, it doesn't seem like any, well, Joe Calgaro, who, I worked with years ago in Peoria on Rock 106. He was the drummer of the Snappers, which was the station band, you know, and, he's been a brilliant radio mind, and he's worked all over the place, but, I know that he was, last time I checked, he was in Milwaukee, but with the way that radio works, Jesus, who knows anymore, but I'm pretty sure. And he and his lovely wife are friends of my wife and mine, and you know. But anyway, I just wanted to say. I wanted to say happy birthday to him because I do know occasionally he will listen. I doubt he's listening today. I know he doesn't listen to every episode, but occasionally he listens and drops a note. And, you know, that always makes you feel good when somebody does that. So, there you go. Not that I'm going to do this every day, but, you know, I wanted to say happy birthday. There you go. Al says, mine doesn't do that anymore, but I went in and turned the notifications for birthdays on, and now it does it again. So if yours isn't doing it, go to your notifications. Yeah, I'll have to check that because it used to tell me every day, you know. It used to say, hey, here's the birthdays. It's Facebook's way of saying, hey, schmuck, you know, wish your friends happy birthday. It's the least you could do. You don't go out of your way to be nice to anybody. Could you at least wish them a happy birthday, you know? So, yeah, I'll go in there and I'll, if I turn that on, maybe I'll regularly find it instead of having to, you know, instead of the same way having to go up and down the right side looking for something to click on and blah, 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 you know. But anyway, happy birthday. And the other thing, here's the reason I turned it off, okay, is I have, it gives you friends and followers' birthdays, and I have... And I swear, this is not me bragging in any way. I hope it's not coming off as bragging because it's not meant to be. But I have 5,000 Facebook friends, okay? And I got another 1,000 that just follow me. And every time somebody unfriends me, which you guys would be surprised how many times that I'm unfriended. Either someone will, and I'll tell you how I know that I'm unfriended. Either someone will, you know, cancel their Facebook page, or, you know what I mean? Something will happen where they're not on Facebook anymore, or they'll create a new page or whatever, and so I lose them. Or, it used to be I'd say something nice about Barack Obama, and I could count on, like, you know, I could count on, like, several people who are holding beers on their profile page, you know what I mean? I can count on at least 5 or 6 of them to leave. In fact, there used to be a running joke of, like, at work, there was a running joke where people, where somebody would come in new and they say, hey, will you, I can't send you a Facebook request. And I go, oh, hold on, let me say something nice about Obama. And it was a running gag at the radio station where they would watch me do it. And some guys got a big kick out of it. You know, they watch me write something positive about, you know. I'd either say something really nice about Obama or I'd say something like those hillbillies that don't like Obama or something, you know. And then we'd go to the Ray Lytle page or then you go to your profile page on Facebook. And if you look, it tells you how many people are following you or how many people are you're friends with. And then you refresh it and you'll see that, like, on my page, you'll see the friends go from 5,000 to bing. $49.99, bing, $49.98, bing, 40, you know. And we'd get the biggest kick out of it. And it would always, like, I'd type something like, I don't understand these people that don't agree with blah, blah, whatever thing is going on at the time, you know. What the hell's wrong with people who are not celebrating the 4th year anniversary of Obamacare? You know, it would just be something. It would be something ridiculous that we would intentionally, that I would intentionally say, like, I mean, who gave a damn about the 4th anniversary of Obamacare? You know what I mean? But I'd say it, and then you'd see these people just, they're so easily trolled, and you would just, $49.99, $49.98, you know. And then what I'd do is I would say, okay, send me a friend request now, and then you can send a friend request. So, and anybody who's got that, I'm sure that, I know there's several of you guys that probably are capped out on friends. But it's funny because you, immediately when that happens, you get flooded with friend requests. You know what I mean? You just get flooded with friend requests. And as soon as it goes from $5,000 to $49.99, so like if I go to my page right now, forgive me. If I click on friend request, I have one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. This is too much. I have like, let me just scroll down. It looks like 40 some odd friend requests. I don't have time to count them all. It's ridiculous. But there's, so like, I'll get that many friend requests. So then whenever, like, I just notice on my page that somebody's left, you know what I mean? So it's like 49.98. So two people have left. Okay. So when that happens, I go to my friend's request on Facebook, and then it'll say so-and-so, you know, wants to be a friend, and they have this many mutual friends. Don't get me wrong. Some of them are just like here's a name, and there's no mutual friend request, and there's like a picture of some hot woman with big old titties, and it's obviously some piece of scam or something, you know, of which I go, you know, ignore. But there's a lot of people that are just, you know, that are actual, friends, or they want to be friends. So my page immediately fills up with those, and then I go through and I say, okay, well, let's look at this guy. Like, here's one from a guy named Greg. Well, Greg seems to be somewhat legit. He seems to be friends with a bunch of people that I'm friends with. Doesn't seem to be a fake account. By the way, I'm not sure why we're all afraid of the fake accounts. I don't know how that all works, but I do know that there are people who will occasionally put up something. I just got this great deal at Walmart. It's like, oh, there's no way this is real. This is someone's scam account. So anyway, you go, okay, well, that person seems cool. And then I click on confirm, you know, to make them my friend. And like I said, I get to confirm like two of them. And then I go to confirm like a third. And it will say, you have reached the maximum, blah, blah, blah. You know, you're not allowed to accept it. So this happens all the time, you know. And it's just like I said, it's for me, this is a it's a continuing thing over and over again that I go through. Like somebody will leave me, and so I go down the list. So I have people that have sent friend requests, God, months ago. And now I'm able to say, oh, I can finally become friends with that person. You know what I mean? And that's just, I mean, there's, what else do you do? You know? So I became friends with people. All right. And then you do it until it tells you can't do it anymore. So anyway, that's, I don't even know. I forgot now. It was such a long story. I forgot why I brought it up. But anyway, that's how it works. So a lot of the times, I don't think you can even ask for a friend request, okay? But when the page gets when you don't have 5,000 friends, it allows anyone to send a request, okay? So that's how it works. You know, you go till it tells you, oh, can't do anymore. And that's when you go, oh, okay, well, can't accept anymore. And then you just wait till the next time, you know, like I'll say something positive about Hillary Clinton, you know, or I'll tell a Trump joke, and boom, bing, 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 you know, I sound like Trump there with my bing, bing, bing. And then it'll go, oh, you now have 4,999 friends, you know, 49.98. And that's how it all, you know, and that's how I deal with, you know, on almost a daily basis, you know, until it says you cannot add any more friends, blah, 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 you know. But I do try, you know. It says you reach 5,000 friend limit. You can remove some friends or follow people if you want to hear from, you know. And I don't really want. Anyway, so that's how it works. I forgot why I brought that up. Okay. But I did, so I figured I might as well follow up on it. Another request. Another request for a classic bit. I always love classic bit requests on shows where it's just me, as you guys know. Although I do admit sometimes I get talkative and, you know, I get talkative and forget. So I promise. I'll play some if I get good requests for them. And the other thing is I get like requests and I mean, you certainly can't find everything. I've only got so much that is mastered, you know? And, I don't know if I could find this one, Jim of the Bunghole, which I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think that was on one of the best of shows not that long ago. So if it's on a best of show, I usually can find it. I just type it in and it goes to it pretty easily. So hold on. Let me, Jim of the Bunghole. I think it's called Jim. No, it's not Jim. It's not Jim of. Would it be Jim and, no, it wouldn't be Jim and the Bunghole. Certainly wouldn't be Jim in the Bunghole. Could it be in Jim's Bunghole? I don't. See, that's the problem with the best of stuff is I have to figure out how we labeled it, you know. With the old stuff, there were so many different producers, they'd all label it differently. And then when I went to label things, I do it so quickly that, you know, sometimes there's abbreviations and stuff. So it always ends up with me being it ends up taking much longer than it should. So hold on, let me go to the search and put Bunghole, all right? Let's see. Bunghole. And I'll see if I can play it. So hold on, let me get a look here. Jim of the Bunghole. Jim in the Bunghole. Jim Bunghole, I'll just put. Now, here we go. Oh, here's what it was. There's no space, see? So if I ever go to play this again, I can't find it, guys. Remind me, there's no space. It just says Jim of the Bunghole. And it is requested, so I will play it now. Enjoy this classic disaster moment.
Theater owners all over America are having a real problem with the movie George of the Jungle. I have a problem with it. It sucks. But,
yeah, it's a bad movie.
Kids get so carried away by what they see on screen, they come bursting out of the theater and run straight into a wall. Like we used to say, who doesn't? According to Entertainment Weekly, it's already happened dozens of times. Usually the kids do the George scream moments before their face hits the plaster. In fact, it's gotten so out of control, the actor who plays George, Brendan Fraser, has just issued a statement. He says those were stunt trees in the movie. George not hurt himself. George happy monkey. George also big dumb idiot, kids. Don't you be one.
Oh, how nice.
Yes, isn't that touching?
Mm-hmm. And speaking of big idiots, hi, is Jim there?
Hello.
Hi, Mikey.
Hey,
how you doing?
What's up, Ray?
All right. Now, you have Jim of the Bunghole, right?
I have Jim of the Bunghole.
Yes. Jim is going to do what?
Jim, you know, after hearing Sean's news story,
right.
I think it's excited Jim. It's got him going, and he thinks he can run into a wall and not get hurt. I got that light touch.
All right. You were seriously going to run into this wall, right?
Well, yeah. See, it's part of my ninja training. You got to know how to hit it to absorb the impact so you don't get hurt.
What ninja training?
Yeah, that I've had, you know.
You have had ninja training?
Yeah.
Okay. Cuckoo. Okay, Jimmy. All right, so you're going to do this, right?
I'm ready.
All right, so we should sing the, we're going to sing the song. Now, what are you going to run into?
Running into this big shed.
It's a big, like a wooden wall, right?
Yeah, it's a wooden wall.
All right, so as soon as Mikey goes, watch out for that wall, you go ahead and do it.
Okay.
I cannot believe he's seriously going to run into
it. All right.
All right, now, should he hold the phone? Maybe he should hold the phone.
Well, I'm going to stand right against the wall.
Oh, okay.
Jimmy, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Jim of the Bunghole likes to rub his balls. Watch out for that wall. Here he comes. Oh!
He ran right into it. Right into it. Face and arms right into it. The field. Are you? Nah, I'm okay. Because he's okay.
What does he mean he's okay?
I'm going to do it again.
Do it again.
He's running back. He goes, I'm going to do it again. He's, I'm going to do it again. Are you ready?
Oh, my God.
Jim. Yeah. Jim of the bunghole likes to rub his balls. Watch out for that wall. Here he comes. He's running faster. I would knock you back 5 feet. He's still standing. I'll never knock you down. You okay? Ouch.
How you doing?
That would hurt. Because that would hurt a little bit. Right. A little on my shoulder.
Let's do another one.
Do another one. He said, yeah. I'm ready again. He took off back.
All right, Jim of the Bunghole.
A little farther back, Jim.
Running. He's running.
He's going to get a little bigger head start. He's going back 20 feet from where he started the last one.
He's running into
the
wall.
Jim of the Bunghole likes to rub his balls.
Bum, ba-dum, bum.
Watch out for that wall. Here he comes, right? He's sprinting. Here he comes. He hurt his arm this time. Are you going to make it there, Jim? Man, my arm is hurting.
All right, let's do another one. Here we go.
Another one. He said, I'm done.
Yeah, let's do another one.
Another one, Jimmy.
Yeah, let's go. Come on.
Right.
Yeah, let's do another one.
Oh, I can't.
Yeah, all right, here we go. Jim,
I got a basketball game coming up.
Jim of the Bunghole doing another one. All right, good luck, buddy. We're all counting on you here. Go ahead. Good job.
One more?
Yeah, keep her going.
Last one?
Keep it going. Yeah, well, we'll see.
Man, he's brain dead. I'd been dead a long time ago. All right, are you ready?
Mikey, hold on. Mikey.
Oh, okay.
He's just running straight into a wall.
Yeah, I mean, he just takes off straight up. He lifts his hand straight up in the air.
I want to make clear, he's not faking this.
No, he lifts his hand straight up in the air and he runs.
He's running
face first right into the wall.
Into a wall.
His whole body hits from his head all the way down to his knees, all hit at the same time. He doesn't block it with his arm or nothing. He just has his arm straight up in the air and he runs full smack flat into it.
Let's do it again.
It's like a belly flop. And I'm standing 5 feet from the building when he hit. So what you hear, that's how hard he's hitting. I'm 5 feet from him.
All right,
he's ready. Here we go. Jim of the Bunghole likes to rub his balls. Watch out for that wall. Here he comes. Oh, man. He tagged it. How's that, Jimmy? I hurt my other arm. He hurt his other arm on that one, he says.
Let's go again.
One more time, Jim. Oh, I'm done.
Let's go again. Come on, do another one.
I'm done, right?
You got to do another one.
Oh.
Come on, one more for me.
You know, I favored one arm.
I know.
And now I hurt my other arm.
No, you got to do one more for me. Come on. You can do it.
Okay, one more.
Yeah, one more.
All right, I think he's going to go all out this time, Ray. He said he's going to hit it harder than he's ever hit it.
I can't believe he's doing it again. Don't say anything.
He's going back. He's back 40 yards away from the building.
Mikey.
It's going to take you 5 minutes to get here. Jim
of the Bunghole likes to rub his balls. Bum, ba-dum, bum.
Watch out for that wall. He's going to be in the hospital by the time we're done. He's nailed on this wall. Mike, are you okay? I knocked the wind out of me. Knocked the wind out of me.
Hey, let's do one more.
One more?
Come on, one more. One more. This will be the last one.
I knocked the wind out of me,
right? This will be the last one. Come on, last one. Run into the wall.
I'm not going to get back that far. Are you ready, Jim?
I guess.
There you go, last one.
All right, here we go. Jim of the Bunghole likes to rub his balls.
Bump, ba-dum, bump.
Watch out for that wall. That was the best one. He jumped and just boom, right into the wall. He launched himself. He jumped about 5 feet from the building and then boom, face first right into it.
How's he doing?
How you feel? Oh, man, it hurt. I went all out.
Very good. What happened to Mr. I could run into a wall with no problem?
It's my ninja training.
I did. My first time was fine.
Ladies and gentlemen, there he is running right into a wall. Jim of the Bunghole.
Oh, man, what great memories. God, what great memories. Oh, I was such an a-hole. I really... As soon as he starts bragging, as soon as Jimmy starts bragging about, oh, I could run into a wall, I listen back to that and I'm like, oh, I'm going to torture him, aren't I? And sure enough, you go back and listen to it, and yeah, we're torturing him. Oh, my God. I miss that freaking guy so much. And by the way, that's, you know, we always get, you know, you ever know, it always goes to gym stuff. Whenever I take requests, they guys always go to Jimmy. That's the one thing about Jimmy. That's what sucks so much with Jimmy gone. You know, we just missed that. You know, he was the king of nonsense, and people love nonsense. And, you know, so when I play these gym bits, I laugh and I enjoy myself. But there is an undertone of some sadness there, you know. Let's see. What else do I have? What is it? 9:35? I got time to play a few best ofs. But, you know, and I am, by the way, I'm in the process of making a best of for this weekend that I haven't even, you know. That's just going to be a general best of, not a special one. But last week's Shaner special is still available. And, you know, you can download it from morningdisaster.net or any of the podcast providers. And it was, I'll tell you what, it's astonishing how something I put together. It took me, what, less than a week to put it together. And it is amazing how many people downloaded that. And I think I really hit something. I think we landed on some really good bits. But also, you know, a lot of people like Shaner. And I think that helps as well. Got Spanky on the phone now, everybody. Hey, Spank.
What's up, buddy?
How you doing?
Great, man. Couldn't be better.
America's healthiest man, the one and only Spanky.
Well,
are you still?
We can go that far.
Oh, you fell off the wagon, didn't you?
No. Still going. No drinks.
Oh, good. Still working out and stuff.
Yeah. I went out for a walk this morning in the neighborhood instead of doing the treadmill.
Really? What time do
you? Yeah, been out, walked around the blocks a couple times. And
what time do you go out there?
Today I went out, I think, about 4:30.
See, that would freak me out. I don't think I'd like that.
Ah, it's no big deal.
I know. If I'm a neighbor, you know, if I'm a neighbor and I see some guy out walking around the neighborhood at 4:30, that's late enough for that guy. That's late enough for that guy to be like out there up to no good, you know.
Yeah.
There's still crime happening at 4:30.
Yeah, I think it was yesterday I seen the neighborhood law patrol go by.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just waved at him. He kind of looked at me like, what's that fat guy doing? We know he's not stealing anything.
Why would they think you weren't stealing?
Because he couldn't run fast enough to get away from anybody.
Right. Now, imagine you're an African-American guy who just needs to go out and get some exercise. Your ass would be shot.
Oh, yeah.
Your ass would be... By the way, I mean... I hate to bring this up. I'm not being controversial in the least, and I'm definitely not laughing about it, but did you see all that shooting in Tulsa?
Yeah, that was awful.
I mean, what... I watched it, and I said, you know what? I think that she... Because I'm pretty sure that's a female officer. I'm pretty sure it is.
Yeah, I think
but
it was.
It looks like she... I think she's going for her taser, and... She accidentally gets her gun or something. You know what I mean? And shoots him dead. And the other guy's going for his taser, and he tases him at the same time.
Yeah, that's what I mean, because I know they tasered him and then shot him down. And I'm like, aren't most of those pistols they carry are on, like, a safety?
I can't even pretend to know how it works or anything about it, but I know the video is so...
It was awful.
You know, and I do know we're fixing it the wrong way. We're going about the wrong way to fix it, you know.
Yeah.
Because it's just, you know, it's how America is. We have to group everybody together, you know. Everybody's got to be in one group. You can't have mixed emotions about anything. You're either with us or against us. But anyway, I have my thoughts on fixing this issue, and they could have fixed this instead of bitching about it. You know, the last, like, 2 years, we've made this a race war instead of really getting to the heart of the issue, you know.
Yeah, and I understand.
Allow me to... Listen, there are some bad cops. There are. We got to stop saying, you're not allowed to say any cops are bad. And listen, there are also some really bad people that are out there, okay? So
when we
acknowledge that, then we can start to really get to the heart of the problem, which is, why is it that the majority of police officers, okay, and I would say as high as 99% of officers, it's got to be higher than that. When you look at the population of people who are police officers as compared to the amount of people that shoot, it's really, it is a very rare occurrence that it happens.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start looking at the amount of shootings and the race of people who are shot, that's when you start getting some troubling stuff. So you've got to ask yourself why, and this is honestly the thing they need to ask. Why are there so many police officers out there that are so afraid? Why are they so afraid that their first reaction is to pull out a gun and kill a 14-year-old kid or an autistic young black man or this guy in Tulsa? I mean, this guy's doing nothing.
Wasn't his car broke down or something?
Yeah, his car's broke down on the side of the road. They're on their way to another call that has nothing to do with this guy. And they're like, oh, in fact, from what I understand, the one cop says, oh, let's help this guy out, okay? And they pull over to the side of the road, and he's behind his hood, or he's looking at the car or whatever, and they say, hey, get your damn hands up. Get your effing hands up. And it's like, the guy's just looking at his broken, what do you, get your hands up. So he puts his hands up, right? And then he starts walking toward him. Of course, they're talking to him, and then he turns and walks. Now, I can't hear what the guy's saying, and I'm not going to put words or thoughts into his head. I can tell you what I'm like. I look at it and I said, okay, he's going to show him what's wrong with his car. He's going to whatever. And she just maybe it's not a she, but it sure looks like a she. And forgive me if I'm getting gender wrong here, but it looks like she's pulling out. It looks like she's going to pull out her taser, and I'm not sure why she's getting the taser out. And she and the other cop both reach, and the one guy uses this taser, and she shoots him. And the guy,
he wasn't even fighting him.
No, he's got a broken down car. The guy's on the side of the road, and if you don't know what's going on, if you came from another planet and you watch that video, you'd be like, oh my God, why did those two people reach out and shoot that guy with his hands up? I mean, because we don't know all of the stuff. But I'm telling you, it looks like she's scared. It looks like the cops are scared. So the question we got to ask is, why are they so scared? What is it that's making police officers scared? And I know it's not an easy question, but we have to ask it. And then we have to get some tough answers. And we've got to be honest.
Exactly. Because they just come in anymore and they draw their gun immediately, and next thing you know, they're firing, emptying their gun.
So we've got to ask the question, why are the police so afraid of black men? And there might be hard answers. The answers might be, and I honestly, I'm not trying to offend anybody, but the answer might be because most black men act like assholes when the cops approach them. Or the answer might be, well, because when they train everyone, they don't get into specifics. But it's become very obvious that these police, that this police training includes, hey, this is how you handle a black man. Or this is how you handle this, you know. Because there is something going on. And I'll tell you what, just immediately jumping to this, these police officers have a rough job. Lay the fuck off of them. It's not the answer.
Exactly.
Yes, almost all police officers, man, these are some brave mother effers. These guys, I've talked about it before. I could never be a police officer. I'm too big a pussy to be a police officer. If someone goes to me and they say, we think someone's breaking into this place, so we want you to go check it out, I'll be like, hell no. So police, and let's face it, whenever there's anything going on in your life, whenever you're scared, okay, whenever you're scared, you call a police officer. They're your protectors. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, immediately.
So there's got to be a reason this keeps happening. So we've got to stop with this. Well, police are perfect. Leave them alone. And all black people, none, there's no black people out there causing a bad, causing any trouble. Because I got news for you. There are obviously some police officers that are a little too, you know, we got to look at, we have to look at why they are getting so scared. What's going on? And we have to look and we have to admit, yes, a lot of these guys just walking down the street are assholes. And imagine if you're a police officer and you got to deal with that. So there's some hard questions that have to be asked. And I'll tell you what, the protest should be that. The protest should be for more police training. It shouldn't be you're all racist. It should be you need training, or we need to, because they really got to sit down, ask questions, and study this problem.
Because well, and I think they should ask the questions to the cops like that. The two that shot him, ask them, you know, what the problem is, and then reveal the tape or video on the air so people see.
But it's hard because, and whenever a police officer shoots someone, okay, and we had to look at this. They go from police officer to the minute they shoot someone who's unarmed, they immediately become a suspect.
Mm-hmm.
And in the United States, when you are a suspect of anything, what's the first thing a lawyer tells you to do?
Don't answer anything.
Shut the F up. You know what I mean? That's what lawyers, they say, hey, shut up. Don't say anything.
Don't say a word. Just sit there and wait.
And you tell a lawyer, well, I had nothing to do with this. I didn't do. And they go, no, 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 no. Shut the hell up. Yeah, but yep. I didn't. Shut the hell. There have been situations before where somebody, I get served, I'm being sued, or I get called into the office at the station. They say, hey, the show's being sued. And I'm like, what? And the first thing I do is get a lawyer. And the lawyer goes, who have you talked to? What have you said? And I go to explain. The lawyer says, okay, for starters, shut up. And what they say, don't say anything. You're not talking to anybody. Just make it, do you remember that time when the cops were, when we were on tour and the cops wanted to talk to us and they kept showing up to gigs?
Oh, yes. I remember that very well.
you would have to go out and talk to the police and, you know, and tell them, hey, the guys are about to go on. They can't talk to you, but we can. You know what I mean? And you're the one that set up those things.
Oh, yeah, because it seemed like every time we showed up at one certain place.
Yeah.
Here they came.
And I would go to, I'd call my lawyer. And I'd say, well, Spanky's talked to the police, and they got to talk to us about something that happened at a gig, and they want to see what we've seen or whatever. And my lawyer will say, shut the hell up. And I'd say, well, yeah, I want to help him out. He'd go, nope, shut up.
Yep.
And I'd be like, well, no, I want. And he'd go, nope, it's not your business. Stay out of it. Shut up. I mean, that's what the lawyer would. The first thing the lawyer advises you to do is shut up if you're a suspect, you know, or if you're some. And that's what the lawyer would say. Make sure you're not a suspect. I said, well, we're not suspects. And he goes, until you find out for sure you're not a suspect, you shut the hell up. So when you're a police officer and this happens, and sometimes, man, you're taking out the, for whatever reason, you know. Hell, I went to get a glass of milk the other day. I pour the milk in a glass. I go to take it out the fridge and I just drop it. I didn't trip. I didn't, for whatever reason, I just dropped it. It's unexplained. I don't know. You know, I just fumbled the glass. Sometimes you're going to take that gun out, sometimes you're going to slip. It's going to be a complete accident. Or other times you're scared. You're like, oh my God, I thought that guy was going to kill me. Or I thought this is the, you know. And you shoot some person. So the second.
What happened to the old days of where they just either tased them or they whacked them with their little nightstick thing, you know?
Well,
you
do wonder why, you know, like, and that's a question. Why,
I mean,
why
I
are
have
they
seen
tasing
people out of control, like the night that we'd put on the concert at the old warehouse.
Yeah.
And the cops tasered this guy like three or four times. He kept getting up. I mean, that dude was hyped up. You know, he was hopped up on something.
So the next, and the deal is, and this is something you need to look at. The next time that you go to taser somebody if the last time you tasered him, you tasered the guy six times and the guy still got up, you know?
Yeah.
Then the next time you go to taser someone, you're going to question the taser. Like,
this
might not work. And now this guy's a big guy. I will say this. Except for the 14-year-old kid, which I never understood the shooting of that 14-year-old kid in Cleveland. That made no sense because he was a little kid, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's a big, giant man who's intimidating, if for no other reason but his size, might be the nicest guy in the world. But if he's just a large human, you know, you could sometimes be afraid of a person like that. But you don't see them shooting big white guys. It's all big black guys that get shot, you know. So, I mean, there's some questions there we can look at. But if you're a police officer
definitely.
And if you accidentally shoot someone and kill them, or maybe you intentionally shot them because you thought they were a threat to your life, and then it turns out they're not, you have to remember the second, I mean, the second you pull the trigger, you are no longer a police officer. You are a suspect for murder.
Yeah, because it goes back, like you said, being quiet, it goes back to their police union.
Yeah, and their police union and their lawyers, everyone tells them, shut the hell up when you're a suspect. Which they know because they, for like detectives and stuff, and it's not like the detectives are being accused of these shootings, but they work with detectives, these guys that are patrolling the streets and stuff. They see how it works. The first advice everyone gives any suspect is shut up. And they know this because a lot of times their job is to get people to talk.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's a lot, there is a lot of things that go into it. But if we don't start asking these hard questions and getting to the root of this, we're never going to fix it. But,
yeah.
You know, but giant protests where we're calling entire groups of people racist. You know, I mean, these protests, they're screaming, every cop is a racist. Every cop is, no, that's wrong. And everybody watching the protest goes, all those blacks out there, they're all blah, blah, blah. No. But can we stop putting everyone into one big group and then saying horrible things about them? So we
exactly.
really got to look at that. So I know it started out with a joke with me saying, if you were a black man out there walking at 4:30 in the morning to get in shape, you might end up dead. And I know I was joking, but let's face it. Sadly, the truth is, depending on where you're doing that, you could end up dead.
Yeah, because people read into it.
Yeah. So I'll tell you what, and I know people bash Colin Kaepernick and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Say what you want, but listen, he's got people talking about it, and he has them talking. I know some people are angry and like, that coon can just, if you don't like it here, leave. You know, Donald Trump's like, you can leave America. I don't think that's going to solve anything, but, you know. But I'm saying that we overreact as much as, and I mean we as in the average citizen. White citizen automatically reacts and goes, those uppity blacks. The black citizen automatically reacts and says, all those cops are bad. They're all racist. Blah, blah. So I'm just saying, we got to take a breath, you know. And then we have to acknowledge
people. You got to look at the whole story.
Yeah, acknowledge what a tragedy it is. And by the way, the other thing that we haven't mentioned and we have to is, you know, how much is this costing cities and counties and states? And you know, if you have a family member who gets shot by the police for no reason other than the police officer is scared and shoots you, and you're unarmed, like this guy in Tulsa, trust me, these people would much rather have their father and husband back, you know. But
oh, definitely,
this is going to cost taxpayers a bunch of money, because eventually these people will sue the police, and the police and the city knows, or the, you know, city, county, state, whichever officers involved, they know, yeah, we screwed up. So they know they're going to have to make a settlement. None of these things go to court, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
And unfortunately,
no, but they just
a
come
lot
up
of them,
and you know it's going to be in the millions.
Yeah, and so they end up giving. For example, in Sangamon County and in Springfield, Illinois, they don't have an insurance. There's no insurance companies don't cover police departments.
Mm-hmm.
If a police officer accidentally shoots someone in Springfield, and thank God that that doesn't, you know, we haven't had, thank God that hasn't happened. I would hate for that to happen. But I'll tell you what. If it happened here, they immediately would have people that go into the family, and within days, they start offering settlements. They really do. Mm-hmm. I mean, they offer settlements and say, you know, let's keep this, let's keep your family from going through any more hardship, you know. We're going to help your family. So, and by the way, this is exactly what any of us would do if you're a, you have to separate yourself from the incident and the tragedy and the uproar and all that stuff, and you just have to get to the brass tacks and say, we're going to, the city, county, whatever, feels really bad about this. And we're going to make it up to you. So there's always somebody whose job it is to immediately offer the family money. You know?
Yeah, they go out and start trying to make a deal without cameras. And
yes, they get it. And these people settle for millions of dollars, right?
Yeah, and they need to on that deal because the cameras just, if they would quit showing this crap on TV, these people quit doing it.
Well, and a lot of times they show it. You know, why do they show it? Sometimes they show it because they want they want people to see you would have done the same thing. Unfortunately, people are going to take it as they do. And then sometimes the police say, like, they'll look at it first and they'll say, oh, man, that officer really screwed up. And then they do something stupid like they say, okay, let's cover this up or let's delay anyone from seeing this or let's. And that just makes people question already, you know.
Well, that's just like that girl. If she was the one that shot him and killed him, if she was scared to start with, you imagine what kind of mess she's feeling this morning?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And
I mean, I killed a person last night, you know.
There's no way. There is no way. I mean, if Tulsa hid that video, okay, people would have freaked out. They had to come public with it immediately. And it does look bad. And I mean, this. And by the way, we weren't really there. We don't know all the circumstance. We don't know the circumstances. Yeah. But we definitely can look at the video and come up with our conclusion. And this is anybody can come to their conclusion. And yes, it's true. Some people might look at it and everybody come up with different conclusions. If you're a person that is just blindly in support of one side, no matter what, you could look at that and say, that is 100% murder, or that officer was simply defending themselves. I mean, which we all do. We just, because people have to have, we have to pick a side. And by the way, the only side in this is the side of humanity. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And as a normal person, as an average person, we look at it, you and I pretty much saw the same thing, which is, that officer, they pull out a gun and shoot that guy. That's what we saw. By the way, other police officers there, the other guy's pulling out his taser. And it makes you wonder why a guy whose car is stalled on the road would even be tased. By the way, there are other cops, they're not doing anything. They're just talking. And
yeah, wasn't there like four or five of them?
Here's what Brent said. Let's see what Brent said. He says, not following police instructions is not a reason to shoot anyone. Well, that's true, yes. He says, there were four cops in the video. You can't tell me that there were not other options than to shoot the guy. Yeah, but I think that's what we're saying is, this one police officer, what made them shoot him? We need to study that. And granted, the other police officers that were there, they need to ask them, hey, why didn't you shoot? And it's natural for those police officers to say, well, I'm going to protect my fellow officer. But we've got to get past it. You know what I mean? We've got to get past that to where other officers can separate how bad they feel for their coworker along with facts and honesty, because that's what's going to fix the problem. Like, maybe the other officer will say, I felt no threat, or I wasn't close to him, or I went to training. I trained in the 80s when we weren't so politically correct in our training. You know, whatever that reason is, let's be honest and get to the heart of it. And the person that shot him, they need to be honest and say, instead of saying, I'm a suspect, they got to shut up. I am a suspect. Of which it might be, listen, and this was going to make a lot of people mad, but they might need to look at how they do that. As a police officer, maybe you're not immediately a suspect of murder. Because if we want these people to be honest and explain what happened and keep it from happening again, then we're going to need the officers that are doing the shooting to be 100% honest and not have lawyers telling them, hey, shut the hell up. Don't say anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because when I watched it again this morning, you know, they had it on another news show.
Yeah.
To me, that guy, the two cops that were in the middle before the other two came up, it's like he was just, there was no threats. It didn't look like no threats from the video of a weapon or
so
he wasn't throwing his hands around.
They need to be able to ask, number one, why did you call for backup with a guy that's just stranded on the side of the road? And was it because he was black? Those are two questions. They need to ask. And if they say, yes, he was black, I was afraid of them. We got to go, why are certain police officers afraid of black people? And maybe they say, well, once I pulled over a black man, they beat the hell out of me. Okay, that's a legitimate problem. We should have taken you off the street and got you retrained and blah, 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 blah. They need to ask these questions. And the questions, one
exactly.
of them they need to be, those other police officers, why didn't you shoot the person? Why didn't you feel threatened?
Yeah, because if they're scared, they don't need to be out there with a gun.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And like I said, you could get them a desk or retraining or
I said this was
move to another section.
I said this looked like a woman. Okay, the police officer, the one that shoots him. Okay. It might not be, but hold on, I'm going to Google that. I'm pretty sure.
I think it was a woman.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's
tasing.
A female cop. Yeah, the guy, definitely that's a guy that's tasing.
And then I think the woman loaded on him.
Hold on, Tulsa, I'm typing, I'm going to Google this so I can, because I got to know what I'm talking about here, because, Jesus, I hate when Google, for whatever reason, won't let me do anything. Okay, hold on. I got to go to Bing. Ugh. Female officer, Tulsa. Let's see what this. If this is a. No, I don't see. Maybe she's not. Maybe they're not female. Hold on. Let me try another angle with this. Female officer. All right. Okay. On Monday, yeah, it's a female officer. I just saw the picture of her. Let's see. Oklahoma Governor Mary Fallon is urging Tulsa residents to remain calm as authorities investigate a white police officer's fatal shooting of an unarmed black man. Let's see. It looks like it was a white female police officer that shot him. Maybe the question is, maybe she had no business being on the street. Or maybe
if she was scared, definitely.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Maybe there's something going on. They need to, or maybe the training is so politically correct. They've got to ask, why was this woman so scared that she felt she had to shoot him? By the way, she's a 4-year. She's only been on the Tulsa Police Force for 4 years, but she is a field trainer. She's a trainer.
Well, then why would she do that?
I don't know, but That's something we got to look at. The person who's training others shot someone? And is she training them to where she's constantly training and never on the street? Because why is she on the street? I mean, there's a lot of questions that have to be answered. And rather than asking the question, all of the outrage immediately shows up. Because immediately, within seconds of it being out, he deserved it. He had drugs in his car and he was blah, 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 blah. And it's like, well, but we're watching the video. You know what I mean?
Yeah, either way, he did not show no signs of being aggressive.
And we don't, and the other thing is, we're not looking at it individually. Let's look at the individuals. Let's not say, hey, this is what every police officer does, because the video itself proves this is not what every police officer does, because there's clearly police officers not doing it. So
they just stood there and was talking.
And so let's see what happened in these police officers to do this, and let's make sure we don't have any more.
Exactly. Well, like you said, getting back to the guy walking at 4:30 in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a black guy out there. I'm going to shoot him.
Yes, you would be. I mean, unfortunately, somebody might shoot you.
That's what I mean. I don't, you know, it's I don't know. I guess
a white guy. You're just a.
I get along with everybody.
You're a big, fat, nice white guy. A redneck just walking down the street, taking some exercise. Could you imagine the phone calls?
We have a report of the ugliest prostitute known to man walking up and down the street. Oh my God! This is the fattest prostitute we have ever seen. She looks horrible. We need to get over there and arrest this prostitute just to keep our city from looking uglier.
Maybe they thought you were just an ugly prostitute.
It could have been. Yeah, I didn't get no offers, though.
We have an obese prostitute offering to give rim jobs to people at 4:30 in the morning.
Jesus.
But, yeah. Well, I could have been worse. I could have been wearing my Speedos and my goggles.
Yeah, people would like that. You'd immediately been put in there. Been put into the nut house.
Oh, they would be, and I would be too.
I'll tell you. We live in crazy times, Spanky.
Well, it's getting worse.
Yeah. I do wish people would listen to... We joke a lot on this show. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I do wish someone would listen to the conversation that you and I just had. I really do, because... That conversation was devoid of all black people are bad, or all cops are bad, or all cops are great and perfect, or all black people are great and perfect. And we actually talked about human beings, and I wish they'd do that now. And by the way, I wish
you said we have fun, but yeah. You got to be serious about it when it's time to be serious.
I do wish that we would stop with the generalizations. And by the way, and not just the shootings. Can we stop getting angry at... Can we take 2 seconds to show some empathy and understand why people are protesting instead of just getting so angry at them? And can, from the other side, can you understand the role... If you're a black person, you've gone through this. If you've gone through getting pulled over and you can't think of, I mean, have you ever been, is a police officer, and I know the answer is yes, but has a police officer ever talked to you where you're like, man, I don't even know why this guy's yelling at me. I didn't do anything.
Yes, it happens.
Yeah. There's in times of crisis or fights or something, I'm just in the wrong place at the wrong time. I've had police officers swear at me, you know, get the F down, shut the F up, put your effing hands up. That happens. Okay.
Yeah, well, my wife and I had a good story one night going to a Sikh comedian in Springfield, and we got stopped.
Yeah. And you don't even know why.
Game warden.
Yeah. And he probably came at you yelling and
Well, what he had done is my wife was out in the passing lane.
Right.
Passing cars, and she couldn't get back over. Well, she said, hey, there's a guy behind me flashing his lights. I said, well, get over when you can. So when he went by, she gave him the thumbs up. She didn't flip him off.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, he slowed down, flipped on his little lights, and pulled us over.
Oh, geez.
What'd you flip me off for and start screaming at my wife? Well, you know how that goes. If somebody screams at your wife, what are you going to do?
Then you, yeah, it, once again.
I unloaded. I mean, I started in, and I got out of the car. And he goes, let me see your insurance card. So I reach for the glove compartment. Next thing I know, I turn back around, and he's got his gun drawn on me.
Yeah. So
I'm like, dude, what are you doing?
So let's ask, so they got to ask questions. What made him, why was, what's happened to him in the past that made him pull his gun? What has happened to him to where he's that angry? And certainly what, you know, what made you react? We just, there's questions that have to be asked when this stuff
yeah,
happens.
Yeah, well, I reacted because he was yelling at my wife.
Exactly. So, yeah. So
you can talk to him.
So let's stop.
Normal man, did you flip me off?
Listen, I understand that when you're a police officer, you have to be, there has to be an aggression or at least a, you have to show dominance to take control. I know sometimes in taking control, you and the F word's very very powerful. Because saying, get your hands up, sir, is a lot different from get your fucking hands up. When you know what I mean? The latter really makes your point, okay?
Yeah.
I will say, if I start, you know, there, if I started screaming that in public, they would probably want to ticket me. So it is weird, the language the police officers use, you know what I mean?
I mean, granted, I probably showed some aggression because
yeah.
he was talking to her, and when he started yelling, I threw open the door and jumped out.
But the question is, we need to ask why. You know, mm-hmm. let's investigate this. And you said, you know, the answer is, well, he yelled at my wife, so I'm going to be protective.
Exactly.
And, all right, so then, so and they need to realize that, you know, maybe an agency that's helping them can say, okay, listen, don't scream at a man's wife. If you walk into a situation and no one is at risk, then let's handle it a little easier. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And if some people are just assholes, well, then this is how we handle assholes. This is what we do with them.
If he would have come up and said, ma'am, did you flip me off or why did you? And just stood there. But, you know, when he's continuing to yell, I just threw the door, and then when he said, get the insurance, well, where's your insurance card? Glove compartment.
Yeah, and so you go for it. Next thing you know, he's got his gun out.
I go for it, and I turn around and hand it to him, and he's standing with a gun pointed at me.
See, and that's and that is what, you see, this happens every day. Every single day. So you got to ask questions. Well, if Spanky was a black guy, would they have shot him? Would they have? And if so, why? But everybody has gone through that. So now
yeah.
let's go from the other side. Let's go from the other side. And let's realize that there are some people out there that are horrible people. And it is true that there are people who have reached into glove compartments, pulled out guns, and shot police officers.
Oh, exactly.
Now, you're a police officer. You do that for a living. You know what I mean? You do that
for a
living. Now, put yourself in their shoes. And you say, man, I'm not going to let that happen to me. I've got a wife. I got kids. You know, I want to make it home by the end of the day. I don't want to end up dead. So they got to take all of that under consideration. You know, let's not just blanket it and say, this is the right side. And this is the wrong side.
Exactly.
You know, that's the kind. So there's a lot that's got to be done. There really is. And I hope that we can.
Well, myself, he could have handled it a little different by walking up with me.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah.
And saying, sir, sit in your car, put your hands up on the dash so I can see him.
And I will say that this is.
And open it slowly.
That when that report was filed, there was, nobody mentioned how it went down.
Oh, no.
And if you want to, you could put in a you could file a complaint and blah, blah, blah. But
it's such a, and I understand, listen, I know why they make it hard, because you don't want every single person complaining and bitching, but it should be a little easier to file a complaint. And yeah. If there is a complaint, somebody should interview you and say, what happened? What made this experience bad for you? I mean, there is a decided lack of customer service in the public sector. There really is. And this isn't just please. This is, well, I went to go meet with my DCFS person, and they were rude, and they were blah, blah, blah. It's such a pain in the ass to complain about them. Or I went to City Hall, and the woman working there was a bitch, and blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? There are customer service in the public sector sucks. Whether it's police or bureaucratic or anything, the customer service is bad as compared to corporate America, where, I mean, you might have to be talking to someone that doesn't quite understand your language, but at least there's a way for you to talk to them. You know what I mean?
Exactly. You know what I mean? Well, I tell you what saved me that night was one state cop and one of the Sangamon County cops that no names but did our concerts.
Yeah.
And they like pulled up and he took both of them out of their mouths. What are you doing, dumbass?
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Well, no, they called me the dumbass.
It's crazy. Oh, yeah. Well, but still, they were also able to tell the police officer, you're a good guy.
Oh, yeah. They're like,
no, there's no need to pull a gun on.
Get out of here.
And not everyone has that, you know.
Well, not everybody knew me either.
Yeah, and so there are a lot of hard questions that need to be asked. And if people are so angry, they're looking to blame, like, it'd be very easy to say, well, that cop was just an a-hole, or that Spanky was an a-hole. But, no, let's get to the heart of it. And you look at that Tulsa thing's troubling. I mean, it is troubling. And listen, people, stop getting angry at black people because they want questions asked. Stop getting angry at black people because they see this video. Now, put yourself in that guy's shoes. You're another obese black man. And you're afraid your car's going to stall in the middle of the street and someone's going to shoot you. That would be enough to make me get out there and hold a freaking sign. I'll tell you that. You know what I mean?
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's just sad.
Now, granted.
Like you said, people don't get along. We're segregating ourselves.
Yeah, I don't understand blocking highways because, number one, that seems dangerous. Yes, it's effective in getting your message out, but it does seem dangerous and stupid. There are ways to protest, but again, at the same point, all right, somebody wants to protest by simply kneeling during the national anthem. Okay? And they yell at that person, and they you know, defame that person, and people attack them. You better think about it. You know, the other form of protest is blocking highways during rush hour. What would you rather have?
Exactly.
Would you rather have people blocking your highways in San Francisco during rush hour or having a backup quarterback kneel during the national anthem? And if you think of it that way, you better shut the hell up when the guy goes to his knee. If you can't see the video of Tulsa or of New York, or by the way, I could name a dozen videos, you know, and there's more to come. Let's be realist. There is more to happen. But if you can't watch that and say, you know, there's something going on, so that wasn't right, then you're fooling yourself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, I don't want people blocking the road, okay?
No, because it's just going to cause people to get hurt.
And, yeah, and not just you, but, my God, the person that accidentally hits you or whatever, I mean, you're going to affect a lot of people. It's a stupid thing to do. But if people bitch because one guy who protests decides he's going to kneel during the national anthem, well, then you're going to make people go, well, screw it. I am going to go block traffic then because I can't even do a simple form of protest like kneeling during the national anthem, without being called out, without being called a horrible name. And like, by the way, I've seen some racist stuff. And this isn't everybody, but you know, there's some people in the South that aren't handling that national anthem stuff that well. Yeah. Me personally,
well, the thing is, on the
me personally
blocking the traffic.
Yeah, yeah.
All they're going to do is get arrested.
Yeah, that's not going to prove your point.
So does that make you better than the other guy? Because now you're in jail.
Actually, there are people in the Black Lives Matter movement that say, "Hey, just be calm. You know, Martin, be calm and just you don't need to block a road. We're not to that point. Let's be calm, hold up signs, and be rational. Let's not riot like they did in Missouri. Let's not block traffic, you know.
You burn up your own parts store and businesses?
Yeah. I got to tell you.
I don't quite get that.
I got to tell you. It's crazy that we should applaud Colin Kaepernick. We should applaud Colin Kaepernick, and I'm going to tell you why. Because Colin Kaepernick single-handedly has taken young black men from the streets trying to block highways in a dangerous form of protest. And now those young men are joining high school football teams or joining athletics. Even peewee and junior football league teams
of
predominantly black players are kneeling during the national anthem. And that's their form of protest. I'm going to tell you what. People, you need to shut up with the protesting of this, because it's a much better way to protest than the way they protested the OJ verdict, when they were pulling white people out of cars and beating the hell out of them.
Yeah, what?
It's a lot better way to protest than when you're trying to block cars on a highway. It's a lot better form of protest than rioting on the streets of Ferguson, Missouri. Colin Kaepernick,
they kneel down. What do they kneel for? What's the national anthem?
Colin Kaepernick taught a lot of people how to perform a peaceful protest in order to bring attention to a subject.
Mm-hmm.
And he was attacked like he was a terrorist. In fact, on Facebook, I saw him called a terrorist. So, you have to look. You have to look at everything involved. You can't nitpick and choose, oh, this makes him sound good, this makes him sound bad.
Look at the big picture.
And you definitely can't overreact to Colin Kaepernick. When to be honest, he should be treated like a hero. And I know there are people out there going, Ray, you are full of shit. Listen, I'm telling you, when you look at it the way I just described it to you, I don't care who you are. If you listen to what I just said about Colin Kaepernick, I know somewhere in your mind you're going, boy, you know what? That does make sense. And I'll tell you the other thing. When I point out the difference between public and private when it comes to customer service, I know a lot of you out there are going, well, you know, he's got a point. You know, if they set up customer service, you know, a little bit better for complaining about police officers, maybe it wouldn't get to this. So there's a lot more to it than just the color of a person's skin or, and there's a bigger picture. So I hope people that think about it, and I think Colin Kaepernick is a good example of it, but I think this Tulsa video is disturbing. And I really hope they just don't sweep it under the rug. I really don't. And if this woman was, in fact, a trainer, well, why is the person who trains other people shooting someone? And like I said, I couldn't hear it. My God, I can't think of any words causing someone to shoot you other than, I'm going to kill you. You know, I just can't think.
Or if you're reaching in your pocket.
Yeah, of which he wasn't. And I'm going to tell you, for those people that are defending that police officer for shooting him, why didn't the other police officer shoot him? Why was she the only one?
And I think she came up towards the end. I don't think she was there to start.
So it makes it, I'll tell you, a lot of it makes you wonder what the hell is going on to make someone do that? Why react like that?
Exactly.
And, you know, and let's look at it. Let's really look at it. And not just do our usual, well, we're going to investigate this, and then have the police union get involved and hold this up, hold that up. Nobody talks. You know, I'm not saying to give every police officer immunity in advance and say no matter what, you're not going to, this isn't going to, so that, but we have to offer something to get them to talk.
Exactly.
No, we don't want to give them.
Not like I'm going to send you to Hawaii for 2 months.
Yeah, and we don't.
You get paid leave.
And we don't want to give them blanket, we don't want to give them blanket immunity to where as soon as you do something wrong, we're going to protect you. Because that's sort of happening now.
Oh, yeah.
But we've got to do something to make them, to make them talk. Because if we don't start talking, we're never going to get this to the conclusion. And I'm going to tell you what. We certainly are not going to solve this problem on an internet radio show.
Exactly.
But I think you simply explaining how your morning went got us into a conversation. I don't know. I'm proud of this conversation. I'm sure there are people that are pissed off. I'm never going to listen to that sanctimonious son of a bitch again. But I don't care. I think that we actually made a good point today. So, Spanky, good job. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Listen, I got another call tomorrow. I got another show tomorrow. I got to wrap up today. It's okay. After 10. I'm running late, of course.
Oh, no problem.
What else is new? Let me wrap this one up. Thank you for listening, everybody. And we'll be back tomorrow at 8:30 a.m. with another edition of Ray Lytle's Morning Disaster. Get well, Nikki.